Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's do it. Caller number 8 for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. His last night here, his last day as a Texan caller.
Damn!
Number 8 on his last day as a Texan. This is for you.
Yocho!
Caller number 8, 713-572-4610. Caller number 8, your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Texans-Titans game coming up on Sunday. Front row seats in the bullpen. You can be our winner right now. Tyler will open up those phone lines. Caller number 8-713-572-4610. You'll be our final winner of the day. There was a winner on Payne and Pendergast. There was a winner on In the Loop. And you will be our final winner today. Pair of front row seat tickets in the bullpen. Hopefully get that take care of for you. All right, Clint, I think the other part and piece, this was as shocking as the release news to me, and that is the aggressive route that it appears. I can only say the Texans, because DJ Bieniemy, who wrote a great piece, and it says he's getting this info from Texan sources that lay out, Clint, in every way of why, in detail of why they moved on from C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I thought it just started earlier today with what Wilson had to say. Why do I just drop my man's name up? But he tweeted this out and said that the Texans released C.J. Gardner-Johnson after friction behind the scenes with veteran safety, criticizing teammates, complaints about his role, including wanting to blitz more frequently, and also reported that he offered a trade request. Also, so that was earlier today. And then later on, DJ Bieniemy came in and said, and made his report and said, this is coming from a Texan source. And he cites this: each Texans loss has been, all three losses have been by 7 points or less at a minimum, according to team sources. Gardner-Johnson allowed 3 big plays in those games that contributed to the opposing offenses scoring touchdowns, adding that Gardner-Johnson has struggled to consistently guard the correct opposing player when required to, in quotes, match coverage. Based on the Texans' defensive call and routes run by the offense, struggles that also occurred during walkthroughs in the lead up to games. They even, Clint, go breakdown from breakdown. They give a play in week one in which they gave up a touchdown in which they say Gardner-Johnson was responsible for and at fault, and that Kamari Lassiter tried to clean up. They give an example in week two in the Bucs game that an over route that was his responsibility as they were in a cover two, and he decided to cover a breaking in route, 10-yard route, instead of covering his half of the field that resulted into a touchdown in which they lost by one game. And then the one you talked about earlier when you did your tape drop Tuesday, the big play to Brian Thomas Jr. late in the game where he should have had the middle of the field. Instead, he tried to jump the out route and left Kamari Lassiter, in who thought he had inside help, left him out to dry, and he scored, or at least got to the 10 and set up the winning touchdown. They also said, compounding the coverage bust, Gardner Johnson has refused to take responsibility for his mistakes, rubbing his teammates the wrong way, sources added, with one member of the team saying Gardner Johnson pointed fingers instead of owning up to his mistakes. So they give a full detail reason, both his attitude and him repeatedly making mistakes in every single game that led to scores. I'm as shocked, Clint, that they, to me, this looks like damage control and we want to get it out right now. This was within 2 hours them releasing him to get that. I've never seen a team go into that depth and detail about a player they're releasing like this in my life. I found that part wild that they did.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, it is wild, but I questioned the report. When I just at first glance, I went back and was able to look at the plays, and I kind of questioned what was going on here. And I'll respond to those three plays that are actually mentioned. The Rams touchdown, I mean, because here's the problem with D'Amico's defense. There's so much disguising going on that it's hard to decipher in, you know, what the hell's going on. So, but the Rams touchdown that they're referring to was, I think, some kind of man coverage. I don't think it was cover two. It was some kind of man coverage. And the two tight ends to one side, I think they exchanged. One blocked and went out on a route, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson's guy was the guy on the route instead of the guy that was blocking. So that's where the cross-up could have happened. The Bucs touchdown, I think was C.J. Gardner-Johnson is playing some kind of quarters, and they throw the ball over the top of him. Which I would question if it's supposed to be cover two. Why is Bullock chasing the over route? Some interesting things there. And then the Jags touchdown, I think, is cover zero. I think Gardner Johnson jumping that out route in cover zero, it's what he's supposed to do. The question I have is, why are both corners playing outside technique and giving those in breaking throws, just giving them away? So I've got questions on a couple of them of whether, you know, what they're trying to do. Are they disguising themselves out of position? Or is C.J. Gardner-Johnson really the one to blame here and for not playing the coverages right? They are disguising so much that it's hard to tell exactly what they're trying to do and who's out of position and who's busting coverage. But at second glance, I think there is a – you know, the Rams touchdown could be a major bust by C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I think the other ones are questionable.
Who really knows? I think, as you said earlier, I would be shocked if we don't hear from C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I'll be shocked if we don't hear a rebuttal from this.
As would I.
Because the part that gets me is, let's say that they are dead right on everything they put down. And someone texted in, y'all were begging earlier for transparency about CJ. You got it now. You can't believe they released this statement.
What? Oh, yeah. No, by the way.
You think a statement's transparency?
That's not their statement. This is just a source. This could be anybody in the building.
And I mean, that's fair,
let's be honest,
too.
It could just be a play to get something out there.
Come on.
I get down with it. I'm good. Like I don't necessarily know that releasing something, an unnamed source releasing something to a media member is the transparency I'm looking for, but it doesn't surprise me that they're trying to get ahead of the situation.
Yeah. This sounds like damage control to me personally. This sounds like this was put out as a plan to get out in, as you said, get out in front of things. And yeah, I am surprised that they went this hard to make him look this bad. I am surprised that they publicly are going out of their way to make him look this. They went in detail of coverage and breakdowns of the play. I've never seen anything. Man, they can't stand his ass. They can't stand him. Like, you ain't never seen no coach come out on the way out. I mean, if it were the same people who made the decisions for the Astros, whenever Framber's last day is, whoa, I mean, the stories, they would run out there about Framber. I've just never seen anything like it. That they were just that detailed. They want y'all to have the narrative painted that this dude was a bad teammate, a bad player that was selfish, that couldn't pick up the system. That would do anything he wanted to do. And also, they want us to also believe all of that and know that they just kept playing his ass. They kept playing him. They get a breakdown of that. That even the play that they talked about in Jacksonville, he kept playing the next plays. That would have been the third week in a row he'd blown coverages that led to scores, but they kept playing him. Just an odd situation. All right, coming up, T-Mill's best bets, and Clint has the R word, regression. When it comes to C.J. Stroud, what's he seeing and what does this mean? That's coming up next.